Praise God. Thank you so much. Hey, listen, I'm on muscle relaxers this morning. I'm not supposed to be operating heavy machinery, but it didn't say anything about preaching the Word of God. So if I do, it does make me sleepy, though. So if that happens, Ben's going to come up here and wake me up. If your neighbor falls asleep, go ahead and wake them up, unless they just raise their hand. In that case, I don't care if they're snoring, let them go. All right? We're so grateful for all you did to make VBS happen, and there are new inhabitants in the kingdom of God this morning because of your efforts, and we're so grateful for that. Sometimes when you get ready to preach, it just seems like the Lord lets you walk through some stuff related to what you're going to preach. And so when I'm talking this morning about a firm foundation and digging deep into the Word of God and following instructions, I'll just tell you that I've been seeing a physical therapist help with my back. He's done some great stuff, and we're trying this new therapy that is a traction block, also a torture device, which most of the stuff he does, that's what it is. But he basically gave this thing to me, and he gave me instructions. And he said, now here's the deal. You're going to build up to 20 minutes a day on this thing, but don't try to get there right away. Just, you know, go a couple minutes, and then if you're not too sore the next day, then maybe go a minute more and just kind of add to it. You know, after I hit 5 minutes last Sunday, I thought Monday night, you know, okay, we'll try six. And at six, something interesting happens. You kind of become numb. So it doesn't really hurt anymore. I'm like, oh, I've passed the threshold. So here we go. 15 minutes later, I get up. I feel okay. Yeah, you know where that's going. Saturday morning, I couldn't get out of bed. I mean, Meredith had to pull me out of bed, literally. You know, maybe we should follow the instructions and listen to the Lord and our doctors occasionally. So I was so excited when Pastor Jim preached on legacy last week. What a great message. And it was interesting. I had started working on this message about a week before, and the very first passage I'm using is the passage he ended on last week. So I really feel like God's in that, and he has something for us. So here's that passage. It's in Luke chapter 6, 46 through 49. And Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the floods came, the river crashed against that house and couldn't shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The river crashed against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the destruction of that house was great. I live up in Pilot Point, and it's beautiful. We love it up there, but one thing I'll tell you is the ground is not great for building a house. And the guys who built our house, they didn't really believe in piers. So, you know, you come at the right time and the door will open a different way than the last time you were there. A lot of houses in North Texas are like that. It's interesting when you watch a well-built house around here, because there's a lot of time before you ever see walls going up. There's a lot of dirt that gets moved out. There's a lot of new dirt that gets moved in. There's a lot of concrete that gets poured really deep to get down and find the rock. And so that's what we want to do. I mean, if you look at the last couple years, we've seen some winds come in. We've seen some storms blow through. And my prayer for you, my prayer for us, is that we're the people who built on a rock, on a firm foundation, that no matter what storm comes against us in this life, we're standing strong at the end of it. My goal for today's talk is pretty simple. I told someone, Pastor Jim preaches at a PhD level, and you can get a degree with his stuff. I'm at the 101 level. We're going to start real low here. But my goal is really two things. First, to convince you and I both that we need a deeper relationship with the Word of God, and that we're missing out on the advantages that would bring in our life. And number two, to cause us to take action about that. One step forward. What's the thing that's going to be different tomorrow than it was last week in my relationship with Jesus Christ? As I move forward, every time we get together, that's what we ought to be encouraging each other. What's your next step?
Yes.
Let's go. Let's go. I'll take it with you. So we'll talk first about why I need to spend more time in the Word of God. First, I need to spend time in the Word of God because His thoughts are higher than mine. I need to spend time in God's Word because His thoughts are higher than mine. Isaiah 55, 8 through 11 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways." This is the Lord's declaration. "For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For just as rain and snow fall from heaven and do not return there without saturating the earth and making it germinate and sprout and providing seed to sow and food to eat, so my word comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and prosper in what I send it to do." Lord, send us rain in our lives and in our ground, in our world. Word of God's powerful. It's powerful. God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Not by a little bit. Not by a little bit. As far as the heavens are above the earth, where we get out a telescope and try to magnify so we can see it better. That's how much higher His thoughts are than ours. That's how much higher His ways are than ours. My prayer for you today is that when it comes to hearing the voice of God, you turn it to 11. That God would magnify His voice and His word in your life, and everything else begins to fade into the background. If you want to know what I'm talking about, ride with Julia in her truck sometime. All right? Now, it's going to have to be country music, probably. But she'll show you how to magnify and turn it to 11. All right? His thoughts are higher than mine, and I want to focus more into those. Francis Chan spoke at Passion recently to a group of young people, and you might have heard parts of this sermon. It's kind of gone viral, where he spoke on this very passage. And he's talking to a bunch of college-age students, and he says this. He says, "The real tragedy of your generation is that you value your thoughts too much. You feel like you got something to say, and you got to say it. And you're missing out on the thoughts of God that He has for you that are higher and are better." How many of you, show of hands, how many of you checked Facebook this morning? It's all right, you can be honest, we're in church. How many of you are checking it right now? And the very first thing it says is, "What's on your mind?" Everybody needs to know, right? Yeah, well, you know, I don't really care what your thoughts are. And I don't really care what my thoughts. My thoughts were that it was a good idea to spend 15 minutes on a traction block. All right? My thoughts aren't that great. I'm kind of like the weatherman, right, that predicts we're going to have 2 feet of snow tomorrow, and the low never gets below 40, and there's not a drop of rain. And he gets up the next day and gives another forecast, right? I mean, that's kind of how our thoughts are. What we need is to be grounded in the truth of Jesus Christ and of His Word. We need to know what He says about things. Parents, grandparents, I wish I'd have done this younger, but when your kid asks why all the time, and you get to that exasperation point and you say, "Because I said so." I wish I'd have done that a lot less. And I wish what I would have done instead was to point my children to the Word of God and to help them understand what God says about and that that's the why. Because God said so, not because Daddy said so. You know, a lot of early childhood growth and discipline is kind of fear-based, right? I mean, you want the kid to obey because they don't want the consequences. As they grow, hopefully it shifts a little bit and it transfers to love-based because of their relationship with you and they don't want to disappoint you. But our ultimate goal is to move it beyond that because we want them to have relationship with Jesus. And we want them to look at it and go, I want to honor Jesus. And that's why I'm going to do what I'm going to do. That's why I'm going to live the way I'm going to live. That's why I'm going to look for His thoughts that are higher and look for His ways that are higher. And here's the cool thing. My word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty. It will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I send it to do. That's what God says. So I know I'm not leading them astray. I've done several things. I've given several pieces of advice that were wrong. Even some to you guys. And but I know when I point you to the Word of God, I'm giving you the truth. And it's going to accomplish in your life what God designed it to do. We will never be a radical, legacy-building follower of Jesus Christ until the loudest voice in our life is the Word of God. I don't know if you're aware of this. When we look at social media, one of the dangers of it is that it's curated. It's designed to let you hear more of what you think. It's designed to reinforce what you already think and to make you believe the rest of the world is thinking the exact same thing. When we turn on the news, a lot of times we're picking curated news. It's something that leans to our political bent. We're reinforcing our thoughts. But what we want to reinforce in our life louder than anything else is the Word of God. His ways are higher. Second, I need to spend time, that was for emphasis. I need to spend time in the Word of God because I was designed to grow in truth. Healthy things grow. That's just how God made it to work. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul writes, "Brothers, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babies in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, because you were not yet ready for it. In fact, you're still not ready." Hear a little exasperation in his voice. Hebrews 5:11 through 14 says, "We have a great deal to say about this, and it's difficult to explain since you have become too lazy to understand. Although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation again. You need milk, not solid food. Now, everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness because he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil." Everybody loves a little baby, don't they? They're so cute. They're adorable. Take out and show pictures, videos. You know, look, he just took his first step. I took 20 of them today. We're doing good. We all love a little baby. But one thing I found out about babies, and as I get older, I notice it more, they are helpless, man. You know? I mean, they need you for everything. And while babies are cute, we still don't want to be doing everything for our 25-year-olds. We want them to grow. We want them to grow up. And in the same way, the Lord wants us to grow up, and He designed us to do that. He designed us to develop in relationship with Him and get to the point to where we not only spend time in the Word and we not only look for what His thoughts and ways are, but we can teach other people. We're praying for a harvest in this church. We're praying for people to be transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, new Christians in this body. Amen? Now, when that happens, we're going to need some teachers. John Lewis is going to stand up here and go, "I need you to start a small group. I need you to disciple some people." You know, hey, listen, I don't know. I kind of, when Paul was writing this to the Corinthians and he's talking about, hey, you ought to be teachers and all that kind of stuff, I kind of thought about Miss Judy going, "We got to have some VBS volunteers." All right? She wasn't the first one to be recruiting and saying, "Hey, y'all need to get ready and get to the point that you can input into other people's lives." We've got to be prepared to feed ourselves and to feed others. Our relationship with the Word of God should be so deep that there is overflow that infects everyone around us. In the New Testament church, when the church gathered, it says everyone had a word or a hymn or an encouragement to share. It is from the overflow of their time with the Lord and His Word. What did you bring this morning? There's likely someone in this room who needs to hear the Word of God from your unique voice. And as we spend time with the Lord, as we spend time in His Word, He will use us to encourage and to build up the body. When we move from being babies, we're able to care for others rather than just needing someone to take care of us. Third, I need to spend time in the Word of God because it's a great weapon against the schemes of the enemy. Tom, listen up. This one's for you, man. In Luke 4, when Jesus is tempted by Satan, he's in the wilderness and he's tempted three times. How does he answer? Yeah, it's written. It's written. Here's what the Word of God says. In Ephesians 6:17, there's a full description of the armor of God that we're to put on every day. And the Word of God is referred to as the sword of the Spirit. Hey, listen, here's a good idea. Don't go to battle without a weapon. When you are fighting against a certain sin in your life or a certain temptation, get you an armory of verses that you can use to fight the enemy. Memorize them, print them out, put them on the inside of your car visor, especially if it's road rage. Post them in your office and in your home. Phone a friend and ask them when they see you heading that direction to remind you of the Word of God and what it says about your situation. So if you were going skeet shooting, here you go, Tom. If you're going skeet shooting, I hope that you're taking a 12-gauge shotgun with you and not a pellet rifle. If you're going to go fight the enemy, I hope the sword of the Spirit you're taking with you is something a little bit better than that little pocket knife that you could probably get through security at DFW with, right? We want the big guns. We want the big sword. And John 3:16 is great, but I can't imagine that it's going to get you through some of the toughest times in your life. I've watched people get to the point to where they're desperate and they'll spend time with the Lord, but I don't really think that was the design. I think His design is that we spend time with Him so when we get to those places of desperation, we already know what He thinks. We already know the faithfulness and the goodness of God and what He's provided to walk us through that season of life. I want to get there ahead of time. I want to be ready when it comes. And the only way to do that is to spend time knowing Him and knowing what He says. Julia sent us a verse a couple weeks ago that said, the mind that's focused on Him, He will keep in perfect peace. Lord, would You set our mind's attention and our heart's affection on You? And we could enjoy the peace that You have for us. Fourth, I need to spend time in the Word of God because it's fruitful and it prospers me. We talked about fruit earlier. How happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path of sinners or join a group of mockers? Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction. He meditates on it day and night. He's like a tree planted beside streams of water that bears its fruit in season. His leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Things work better when you follow the instructions that the Creator provided. As a believer in Jesus, the enemy's schemes against you are to make you fruitless, to limit the impact you have on the world around you. There's the tragedy. When we delight in the Lord's instruction and make it the focus of our mind's attention and Jesus the focus of our heart's affection, we short-circuit the plan of the enemy. We were designed to live in a relationship with God and His living word. And anything short of that is less than what he has in mind for us. I want to talk just briefly. You guys have listened fast, so that's good. I want to talk just briefly about some practical ways that we can take next steps in our relationship to God's Word. First, I can make the Word of God part of my everyday life. Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9 says this, "These words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Make the Word of God part of everyday conversation. Some of you may do this really well and probably do it a lot better than I did, but we never really got to the point where we had a family devotional, you know, on a regular basis. Trying to get everybody up in the morning and, different times, different schedules and all of that stuff. It just never worked. In our house. If you did it, man, I need to hear how you did it, because God bless you. You figured out something I never figured out. But here's what we did figure out is that on the way to hockey practice in the car, it's a great time to talk about the Word of the Lord, what he's doing in our lives. Breakfast on a Saturday. It's a great time to talk about the Lord. We'll go to lunch today. Our family will pretty much every Sunday. And we'll share what the Lord spoke to us through the message that morning. And so it just becomes part of the conversation. But when we let it be that when we're instructing our children, we point them back to the Word of God and we teach them that that's the source. It's the everyday stuff. It's the as you're going, showing that Jesus is the firm foundation you're building your life on, and his Word is important to you because of that. One of the things I do in the morning, I put this as a resource in your bulletin. A couple years ago, I started listening to something called Commuter Bible. And it's just an audio Bible. They put a new podcast out every Monday through Friday, unless it's a bank holiday. Works great for me. About 30 minutes a day. And by the end of it, you'll have listened to the entirety of Scripture in a year. And so in the morning, what I do is I pop my AirPods in, and literally as I walk on the road, I listen to the Word of God. And it's great. I catch so many things that I don't catch when I just read, especially when I get in the Old Testament and some of those things are hard to pronounce and I'm thinking through all that kind of stuff. For some reason, if I just hear it while I'm doing something else, my brain engages in a different way, and it works out for me. So find ways that work for you. Find ways to hear the Word of God that you can do. We're all busy. We're all busy, but it's important. And so things that are important, we make time for and we find a way. Second, I can commit to taking action on what the Word of God says. James 1, 22 through 25 says, "But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but the one who does good works, this person will be blessed in what he does." The goal isn't to know more. We're not trying to pass a test, get a degree, and move on from here. The goal is to know Jesus better and grow to be more like him. The best thing we can do with the Word of God is to take action, figure out how to do what it says, and live it out. And by the way, those folks that you cannot get to listen or engage you in a conversation about the Word of God, if you do this part, they'll see it. They'll see it and they'll be drawn to it. Take baby steps each day. Third, I can commit to share the Word of God with others. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." It's really the point. This is where we want to get to, where we make disciples who make disciples. There's something about when you are sharing the word with someone else that makes you dig a little more seriously into it. There was a period of time that I was really concerned for my kids as I was watching them interact with their phones a lot. And I was concerned about the voices that were coming in their life, and I'm praying about that. And I share that with a friend of mine named David Grant over breakfast one morning, and David goes, you know God's in the business of redeeming things, right? And I said, yeah, I get that. I'm tracking with you. Still don't know what that has to do with the phone. He said, what I do is in the morning, I send my family a passage of scripture every morning. And I just send it to them and just put it in a group chat. Because I want to turn up the volume of the Word of God in their life and minimize the other voices. So if you're concerned about the impact of that, use that to reinforce the Word of God and its importance into their lives. Sounded pretty good. So I started doing that. We had a family chat. I didn't know how to set it up, so someone else had already done that. It's the coolest family ever. We set that up, and I just started. In the morning, I'd send a little passage, and at the end of it just says, you're loved. That's all it is. Did it for months without a single response. I was convinced Meredith was the only person reading him. And apparently, there's ways you can track that. I didn't know it, and I still don't know how to do that, so I'm not worried about that. But I forgot one day. I got busy in the morning. I thought, well, I'll do it this evening. By lunchtime, I had a text from Caleb that said, you okay? No scripture today? And I realized the seeds are being planted. You know, not only that, but I mean, just the fact of me knowing that I need to do that for my family, it put a new focus and a new emphasis on me getting into the Word of God, knowing that I owe it to those guys to lead them well in this. And I want to do that. A couple weeks after that, Julia's best friend, who she thinks her last name's Parker, we've kind of just about adopted her as well. We're family number two, goes, hey, can I be added to the family group chat? I want to get the scripture of the day. So you never know the impact you have on stuff that's really pretty simple. The goal is to bring others along with us. Pick a few people you can encourage with the Word of God, and you'll find yourself digging deeper to make sure you represent the Lord well to them. It will grow accountability and regular practice in your interaction with the Word of God. So I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe in that second point where we were talking about babies, you saw yourself in a high chair, or maybe you saw yourself feeding someone in a high chair. Wherever you are, I want to encourage you to take the next step, to commit yourself to turn up the volume of the Word of God in your life, to dedicate some more time to it, to find more ways to implement it into your everyday life, and to take action on it. Father God, we are so grateful for your Word. Lord, we are so grateful that your thoughts are higher than ours. Lord, I'm so grateful that you have plans for our lives to grow us and to prosper us. Lord, forgive us where we've listened to our own thoughts or others' thoughts, and we've not sought after you. Lord, I pray that as we commit to spend time in your Word, Lord, that you would make it fruitful in our lives. Lord, that you would short-circuit the enemy's schemes. Lord, that you would bring people into our lives that we can teach and help grow. And Lord, most of all, that we would be fruitful for your kingdom. Lord, we love you and praise you. We thank you that your Word always does what you send it to do. And so we trust you've done that this morning as well. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. I appreciate you allowing me the honor of sharing the Word of God with you. It's been a lot of fun, and it's another one of those things that causes you to dig deeper. And so we're grateful for you. If you need to speak with someone this morning, there'll be people here at the front that are happy to pray with you, happy to talk about next steps. Sometimes it's just good to have someone that you've said, hey, God told me to do this, I'm committing to do it. So you have that accountability. And so that's available as well. Lord, bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face to shine upon you. Lord, be gracious to you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.